a subject that we titled Stewardship and Economics. And just to provide some background, one of the reasons why we're going through this teaching is because as we grow up, or as we evolve or we develop in life, there are certain principles or certain concepts that are revealed in Scripture with regards to how we ought to manage our lives. And oftentimes, you know, we are not, you know, the way we, at least I can speak for myself, the way we are brought up, some of these principles and concepts are not clearly taught and articulated. And sometimes we don't even understand the scriptural or the biblical perspective to some of these concepts. And so they tend to influence the way we live our lives, the decisions we make, and how we, you know, and ultimately how we eventually evolve. You know, as someone once said, you know, we are a product of our decisions. Who you are today is a result of the decisions that you make. So if we can influence, you know, the decisions you take as you grow up in life from a biblical perspective, then there's a high chance that we can have some kind of positive impact on how you evolve. So we felt it was very important to go through this series of teachings around the concept of stewardship and economics. Let me start by saying that, you know, one of my desires, or I would say the desire of any Christian, you know, who is sincere and, you know, diligent, is to hear the words that, you know, Jesus Christ said to, when he was given a parable in the book of Matthew chapter 25, verse 21 and 23. He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." If there is anything, and I tell you the honest truth, there is anything that, in fact, this series that I'm about to teach actually emanated from that desire. I sat down one day and I said, you know, after I've lived this my life and everything, you know, I stand before Christ, what is that, the first time I see him face to face, what is the nature of interaction, you know, that I would like to have? And this scripture came to mind. It would be fulfilling for any Christian to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Even in our secular work, you know, as we do everything we do on a normal, regular basis, oftentimes when you get commendation from your boss or from your father, or you tell your, you know, a father tells the child, you know, "Well done," or somebody you look up to and you respect tells you, "Well done," it has a feeling that, you know, that spurs you on. But the ultimate recommendation or the ultimate praise that we can get is for us to hear the words from the Lord Jesus Christ, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And one of the concepts that talks about this whole idea of servanthood, of being a servant in the kingdom of God, is the biblical concept of stewardship. And so it therefore means if I want to be a good Christian, or if I desire to hear that saying, you know, at some point, then I need to study the biblical concept of stewardship, understand what it means. What did these guys do that, you know, led to that commendation? And how is that applicable to the way that I live my life, so that when I stand before him, I can get, you know, that commendation? So this is the driver. This was the driver that actually launched me personally into this study. And as I began to study, then, you know, I think the Lord kind of like took me in a certain direction. And I was able to relate a lot of the things I was seeing in Scripture with, you know, my personal life and observation of a number of people's lives. So I felt it was important to teach it. So it's important for us to understand stewardship as a concept, as a biblical concept, in order for us to be able to work effectively as Christians, so that we can get this commendation. Now let me start by saying that there is a link between the biblical concept of stewardship and the academic science of economics. There is a link. between what the Bible reveals as stewardship and the secular or the academic discipline that we call economics. And we'll explore that, you know, a bit. What I'm doing today is I'm setting the stage for the rest of the teachings that we have. So this is an introductory message or an introduction to the issue, the concept of stewardship and economics. So there's a link between the biblical concept of stewardship and the academic science of economics. Today, economics is probably one of the most important academic science in the world today. And the reason is, we are seeing it. You see it heightened, especially when you go into an election year like we have now. Ultimately, all the discussions and everything that happens, whether there are issues of, you know, budget or money or revenue or security or education or health or whatever, all boil down to the concept of economics. Many of us often see economics, apart from maybe these people who actually studied economics in school, many of us probably think of economics only from a narrow sense of, you know, about GDP and you know, demand and supply and a couple of these things. But everything that has to do with the management of resources is the concept of economics. Because economics, in its broader sense, simply deals with the discipline of how to manage resources, whether they be, you know, natural resources, or they be financial resources, or they are human resources, any form of resources, any form, anything that you have with you, your ability to manage, or the concepts that deal with how you manage those things that you have with you, is what the whole discipline of economics is about. And it feeds into every aspect. You know, one of the reasons why in Nigeria today we have issues with security boils down to the issue of economics and how the resources that this country have are being managed for productivity and for growth and for wealth creation. And so ultimately, whether it's you talk about the issue of health or the issue of, you know, abortion, or the issue of whatever concept you see and you regard, it all zeroes down on the entire concept of economics. And so this concept of economics is the chief concern, or the chief issue when we talk about stewardship, and we will look at that. But the point I want to make is that economics goes beyond, people debating and discussing on what we have in our foreign reserves and all of that. All those things are linked to what's, you know, the broader concept of how effectively we are managing our resources for productivity and for growth. And as you do that effectively, you reduce a lot of the incidences that you have, whether they be security issues or issues of poverty or joblessness or health or whatever, or education. It has to do with how effectively we manage our resources. There is a teaching that, you know, that Pastor Femi taught a couple of years ago. I believe this was in 2006, just before I went for my master's. That teaching has, you know, it has stuck with me since then. I remember it so vividly. And one of the things he was teaching in that message, he was talking about this concept of responsibility. And he said, you know, if you are a father, God has made you a father because you have a responsibility to father. You know, if you are a husband, God has, you know, allowed you to, you know, to work in that as a husband, so that you can, you know, because you can, so that you can effectively deploy that responsibility of being a husband. If you are a brother to somebody, a neighbor to somebody, you have a responsibility. You, in your life, where you are planted and where you are placed, it's not by happenstance. It's because there is a sphere of influence, you know, that you ought to have in whatever it is that you do. Whether you are a member of the choir, or you are a pastor, or you are a keyboardist, or whatever, or you are working in a particular place, or you're sitting beside somebody specifically, those things are carefully designed and orchestrated by God, by His purpose, for you to have a sphere of influence, and you, therefore, you have a responsibility to, you know, to effectively manage and to ensure that you are, you know, exerting that influence that God has given, placed you, has given to you by placing you in that kind of situation. And it all has to do with this same concept of how you, your ability to be able to manage the resources or to use well what God has given you to be able to create productivity and growth. So now I said that there is a link between the biblical concept of stewardship and the academic science of economics. So let's first of all explore the verbal link. The English word economics, and that's why I have my board. The English word economics comes from the Greek word oikonomia. You know, and it's important that I illustrate this so that you can follow me. Now, this word oikonomia is taken from two Greek words. One is the word oikos, and the other is the word nomos. So the word oikonomia is a compound word. You know, just like you have, it's a compound word in the Greek. Just like you have the word household in English, which is, you know, house and hold, which simply means, you know, is one word, but it has two roots that, you know, describes a unit, you know, which is, you know, that house and hold. The same thing, this word oikonomia, from where the word economics comes from, is divided into these two words, oikos and nomos. Now, the word oikos is the word that is translated house, and the word nomos is the word that is translated law or rule. And so when we say oikonomia, what we are simply saying is house law or house rule, or the management of the home, right? So the word oikonomia, again, means house rule, which is gotten from the word oikos and nomos. Now, this word oikonomia is transliterated from the Greek, is translated into the English word economics. Now, what is the difference between a transliteration and a translation? Now, notice I did not say that the word economics was translated into the word oikonomia was translated into the word economics in English, but I said it was transliterated. Now, what is the difference between a transliteration and translation? And one of the reasons why I'm belaboring this is so that we can appreciate and see the link between the concept of stewardship and economics. A transliteration is when you take a word from a different language and you immediately incorporate that word into another language. So without necessarily, you do that transliteration by just changing the letters, finding the equivalent letters in the new language, connecting it with the old. So, for example, in English, we have a word called paraclete. This word paraclete is gotten from the Greek word parakletos. Now, this word is a transliteration of the word parakletos. But this word parakletos also means comforter. Now, what has happened here is that this word has just been, you know, you've taken the letters and you've just transferred it into the English language, you know, from what that word means. Interestingly, for this particular, and this is probably not the best example, for this particular word, it also actually means, you know, a comforter. But the point is, a transliteration is when you take a word from the original language and you just incorporate it into the new language. So the word oikonomia is transliterated into the English word economics. Right? Now, a translation, on the other hand, is when you take a word and you go to the root of that word and find the meaning, and then you translate it into, you know, another language. The interesting thing is that this same word, oikonomia, is the word translated into English as stewardship. If you check the word stewardship in the Bible, it is the same as the Greek word oikonomia. Oikonomia is translated into the word stewardship and translated into what we call economics. And so anytime you are talking about stewardship, you are still talking about economics. When the Bible talks about being a good steward, it's talking about this same concept of house law. And when we say law or rule, it connotes that there are principles or there are concepts, there are rules that relate to the management of the house. You know, the steward in the Old Testament, steward in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, was somebody who had the responsibility of managing the house. His primary responsibility was to ensure that the resources of the house that are managed effectively for the house to function well. And that's why you see the story in Matthew chapter 25 was a story where the master was traveling. And the Bible says that he gave certain talents to, three people. One he gave a higher, one he gave a medium, one he gave a lower. And each of those people two of those people did something different with the talents. Basically, they doubled the amount that they were given, and the other went and hid it. And the people that were able to double the amount that were given were the people that Christ describes as good and faithful servants. Because they were able to take the resources that they were given, and they managed it for productivity and for growth. And so when we talk about stewardship, you are basically talking about the same concepts that you have in economics. What it therefore means is, if I can understand the rules or the principles that guide this concept of economics, I can effectively function as a good steward. Because in essence, they mean the same thing. There is no difference from, they both evolve from the same word, which is house rule. Are you with me? And so what we want to do is to begin to understand, what are these rules? What are these principles that we need to know for us to be able to manage our resources? Like I said, a good example of a steward that we see in the Bible is Joseph in the Old Testament. And Joseph was a steward in the house of Potiphar, and eventually became what I would call the chief steward for the land of Egypt and the then known world. And what he did was, he was able to take the resources based on, a revelation that God had given him. He was able to take the resources of that country and manage it in such a way that they were able to experience growth and productivity even in times when there was difficulty and famine. And so it means, if we can understand some of those rules and principles, which, by the way, the Bible clearly reveals, which is the interesting thing, clearly reveals, then it means we'll be able to function effectively as good stewards of Christ. And so what we will be doing, over the next couple of weeks is basically two things. First of all, is we'll be laying some foundational concepts around this whole, theology of stewardship and economics, and then we'll be going directly into some of those rules and principles that the Bible reveals, that if we walk in them, we'll be able to become good stewards. Now, it's also important to note this. That every one of us have been given a talent. You know, one of the things I learned early on is that no matter who you are, poor, rich, tall, short, black, white, you know, whatever you are, God has placed something in your hands. And the secret to your growth and productivity in life relies on how well you manage what God has placed in your hands, no matter what that thing is. Because if you read that story in Matthew 25, the Bible says that the guy who was not productive, that what the master did was he took what that guy has and gave to the guy who was the most productive. What happens typically in life is, if you are faithful in little, you will be faithful in much. Your ability to be able to manage that little thing that to you seems little is what actually opens the door and exposes you to manage much. The discipline and dedication and attention and commitment that you place on the resources, no matter how little, that God has placed in your hands is what determines, you know, how well you grow in the kind of things that you eventually manage. And so it is fundamentally important that we understand this principle of house law, this concept of oikonomia, and we understand how best to manage the resources that God has given us. And so, like I said, in the Bible, there is no difference between what we know as stewardship and the academic science of economics. And you know, the issue of economics deals with a number of things. They teach you about, I don't know how many economics we have in the room. I'm not an economist, but I mean, I've studied economics. You know, they teach you things like, you know, opportunity cost. They teach you things like scale of preference. They teach you, you know, when you, they teach you concepts around demand and supply, investments, ownership, savings. You know, a lot of concepts that eventually determine how effectively you manage whatever resources you have. Now, everything I'm going to be teaching going, you know, in this series would relate to managing financial resources. However, the concepts are applicable to whatever kind of resources God has placed in your hands. And every one of us has different kind of, you know, there are many different types of resources. There are natural resources, like I said. There's human resource, your child that God has given you, or wherever, or whatever it is that you find yourself doing, is a resource or something that God has placed in your hand for you to effectively manage. Even if it is you are head of the choir or pastor of the church, or you are, you know, what, there is something God has committed to you as a measure of responsibility that you have to effectively manage. And there are certain laid down biblical concepts and principles that you need to imbibe for you to be able to manage them effectively. The ultimate reason why we are doing this is because of productivity and growth. You know, when we talk about management of resources, it's not just to manage the resources, to maintain the resources. Management of resources we are talking about is managing it for growth and productivity, progress. The guy who had the talent that, you know, the master gave him, that he gave back the talent, maintained the resources. But you know what the Bible, you know how the Bible describes him? It says, thou evil, evil and wicked servant. Because when God placed something in your hands, he doesn't expect you to give it back to him the same way he gave it to you. He expects you to take it, manage it for growth and productivity. It is a demonic and satanic concept to think that as a believer, you are condemned to live a life of mediocrity. Mediocrity has no place in Scripture. If you study Scripture, you will not find, you know, any man that is placed as an example or a standard for us to follow in Scripture as a mediocre. The Bible has no place for mediocres. It doesn't celebrate or even give any form of recognition to mediocrity. Because when God gives you something, he expects you to use it for growth and productivity. And so anything you do, you must have this fundamental thing at the back of your mind that I must increase. I must grow. Thanks. You know that I must increase and that I must grow grow in it. And so when we are talking about this concept, we are not just talking about it so that we know. The goal or what we have in mind is for me to be able to manage what God has given me so that I can be productive, so that I can multiply, so that I can grow. You know, the whole concept of stewardship did not start in the New Testament, and it did not even start from in Egypt, in the life of Joseph. It's actually one of the fundamental concepts that we see right from the beginning of creation. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm wrapping up now. Genesis chapter 1, and I read from verse 26. The Bible says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And notice, it says, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. Verse 28. "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful How many of us know what it means when it says be fruitful? If you take a seed and you plant it and it grows and it blossoms and creates multiple seeds, you say that particular plant is fruitful. God said, be fruitful. And listen, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over all of creation. In summary, this was the first instruction that God gave to man. He created man, male and female created them, and he looked at him and says, and God said unto them, and God said, and God blessed them. And that blessing, you can say, whether it's intellectual resources or capacity, or is the physical resources God gave them, or whatever, God gave them some form of ability. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all of creation. There are two broad concepts revealed there. One is the concept of productivity. That God gave you something for you to be productive and to multiply and to grow in it. Two is the concept of dominion. And the concept of dominion simply reflects, you know, God did not make man the owner of the earth. But God gave man dominion over the earth to be able to manage the earth. And you know, that word dominion is the same word that relates to, you know, having rulership over something. And that word having rulership is the same word that relates to nomos. And so what God was telling him is, rule over what I have given you. Apply, you know, manage the resources that I have given you for productivity and growth. Have that goal of managing that resources with the end result of being fruitful, multiplying, replenishing the earth, and subduing it. And so, we don't own the earth. The Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, but we have been given a responsibility and dominion over the earth. And what we will be trying to do over the next couple of weeks is basically to understand these concepts better, and then to go into those specific principles that God has revealed to us in Scripture for us to be able to achieve this primary responsibility that God has given us. Next week, we'll be looking at the whole concept of wealth and poverty. I'm beginning to understand what wealth means in Scripture, which many believers don't fully understand, and what poverty also means in Scripture. Let's rise up on our feet.